Before the summer, we've been learning the Rambam's introduction to Pirkei Avos. He gives a Mishnah by Mishnah commentary on Avos, like the rest of Mishnahs. But before he gets started with Avos, he says, for Avos, we need what Mishnah by Mishnah is not enough. We need to need a couple of chapters of essays on larger topics. So the first couple of eight prakim altogether, which is why it's called Shmona Prakim. The first five prakim are sort of a unit. So one builds the next, and one builds, and the next one builds that, and that, and that. Thank you so much, Jake. We're going to pick up tonight. Tonight's going to be a standalone shiur. Next week, I think I'm slated to give a women's shiur Wednesday night. So we won't meet next week. We'll pick up the week after. So tonight sort of stands alone. I want to focus tonight on the sixth parak, the sixth of the eight. He talks about a very fascinating question, and I think it's very practical. It's very practical in everyone's life. I think sometimes it's particularly relevant with some contemporary questions. So let's take a look. He begins by talking about philosophical questions, but as we'll see, it's practical philosophy. Amra philosophim. So here we are, the beginning of Perek Shishi. And the title, this is a parak with a title. The title is fascinating. Behefresh bein hamu'ula v'hamoshel b'nafsho. Thinking about the difference between a refined person and a person who controls himself. Self-control versus a natural. I'm a philosopher. Rama quotes philosophers who write, hamoshel b'nafsho, someone who practices self-control. Afal pisha ya'aseh ha'masim hamu'ulim. He acts in a very respectable way. Someone practices self-control, it means I would really rather be doing something else. I'm going to do all the right things, but inside, I'm fighting this internal battle. I really want to be at the club, but I'm going to drag myself up. I know the right thing to do is to come to this marriage and stay at the club, so this is where I am. But, I have a desire, I have a yen for that. I'm grappling with my yetzahara. Umisnaged b'maasehu l'mashi iruhu elav kocho v'tavasot chunas nafsho. The way I'm acting is at cross purposes to what my natural desires, are inspiring me to. I want to be there, but I'm acting this way instead. Hu oseh ha'tovos v'hu mitzta'er b'asiyasot. He's doing the right thing. He's doing good actions, but it hurts him. It's rough. So philosophers say, look at this guy. He's practicing self-control. Very nice. He's doing the right thing, but he doesn't get 100. He'll get a B because he's acting right, but inside, he wants all the wrong things. Rama continues to say, but these philosophers he's quoting say, contrast that Moshel Benafsho, this person who's fighting a moral battle within, to the ma'ula. Avoha ma'ula, someone who's naturally refined. He's acting in a way that's consistent with his desires because his desires are appropriate. Doing the right thing, and that's what he wants. That's what he's yearning for. So that's the question. Which is better? The fellow who does the right thing, but really inside wishes he was elsewhere? Or the fellow who does the right thing in a very natural, consistent, coherent way? He's doing the right thing, he wants to do the right thing. He's just a good guy. So who's the better person? Who's the better man? The consensus among philosophers, choice two is better. Choice two is more ideal. Here's a person who wants all the right things. He's a really great guy.
In common sense, just the way you just presented the argument, this is you're a good person.
Right.
So your domain is, you just presented, you still have bad thoughts.
Right. So that's sort of, he's the better man. He's the better person. I don't mean manically woman as well, but the better individual. Yeah, that's sort of this common sense approach. Abel Amru, however, here's the caveat. Efshashia Amod Hamoshel ben Avshal ben Makom Shamule Omeid Beharbe Min Advarim. He said, look, it may be that the fellow practicing self-control, Shalom Aleichem, and maybe the fellow practicing self-control can often, you know, match up to where the refined person is. He may be able to match the behavior of the naturally refined person. But Madregaso Pechusa Behechreach. But his level is lower because he's doing all the same right things, but misaveh lefo'al hara. But within, he desires to do the wrong thing. He's not doing it, but shukasto lo, he tchuna ra'a banefesh. Right? And that's really the key point. This classical philosophical perspective. Again, the question is, which is better? The person who's practicing self-control, doing the right thing, although he'd rather be doing something else. I'm in the Beis Medrash, but I really want to be in the club. But I'm in the Beis Medrash. I really want to be in McDonald's, but I'm at Schnitzel Plus instead. Is that better or worse than the guy who naturally wants to be at Schnitzel Plus? So this philosophical approach would have it that look, they're both doing the right act. In terms of actions, they're both getting an A. But in terms of what their desires are, so the naturally refined person, Ma'ula, he's better off than the Moshe Benafsha, the one who needs the self-control. And Rambam says, we can dig farther back and deeper than philosophers. Shlomo Melech already writes along similar lines. A pasuk in Mishlei, Nefesh Rasha Ivsara. The soul of a Rasha wants, Ivsa is in Lashon Taiva, desires bad. So it sounds like the desire itself is the mark of a Rasha. And Shlomo Melech goes on to say, V'amar b'simchas ha-me'ula b'ma'asa ha-tovos, considering, on the other hand, the joy that a naturally refined person takes in doing good, v'hitzta'er mishe'inu me'ula b'asiyasan, and the corresponding difficulty that the unrefined person feels in doing the right thing. Zehamamar. Listen to this. A couple of psukim later. Tell you on the bottom there are both psukim in the 21st paragraph of Mishlei. Simcha la tzadik asos mishpat u'mechita lafo'al le'ovim. Doing the right thing is a source of simcha for the tzadik, but it's a source of aggravation for those who are not. This is what would appear from these psukim. Torah here, he doesn't mean Chumash, but he does mean Tanakh. Corresponds to what the philosophers mentioned. Right? So, sounds like so far, right? Common sense and psukim and Tanakh, common sense, all good. You're better off, you're a better Jew, you're a better human being if you not only do the right thing, but you want to do the right thing. Oh, right. So Jake says, one second. How about the comment the Chazal make about the b'makom shebalei tshuva omdim afilu tzadikim gvurim in chom lamod? That someone who's a balei tshuva did the wrong thing and worked his way towards doing the right thing is going to be in a, so to speak, higher place in Shamayim than the person who was a tzaddik from beginning to end.
Well, I don't think this is addressing schar.
Ooh, ah. Okay, so Tzachi's point now, the question is, what is it that we're measuring? So that's something important to keep in mind. Because Rama's sort of laying out the table here. Right? He's laying the groundwork. He said, look, naturally you would think, a philosopher is present, a pair of psukim in Mishlei Perek Chaf Aleph, and now he's about to give us the other side of the coin. Kashech HaKarnu, Achar Dibrei Chacham B'Zeinyin, we begin to search, we looked at psukim. But now let's look at the words of Chazal. Matzara lahemesh, we find as Jake got us started. Hamisavela averos mishtokeklen yoser tov the yoser shalem, the person who wants to do the wrong thing and overcomes it, he's a better person. He is a more perfected person. Meshar lo yisavela and lo yitzter b'hanachasan. Better, he's in a higher place than the person who doesn't even want it and isn't having difficulty, you know, passing on it. The fellow who really wants a lobster and is, you know, overcome the desire for lobster versus a guy who doesn't, it's not hard for him to walk by red lobster and not go in. So Chazal seemed to give us the opposite picture. Where do you see it? Ad she'amru. Shekol ma'ashi yiha adam yoseh tov yoseh shalom yutshukaso la'averus v'tzaro b'hanachasan yoseh chazakim. This is sort of a different way of looking at it. Chazal say that the more perfected a person is, sometimes the greater his desire for averus will be. The harder it may be for him to pass on an averus. Hadibazem masios. Chazal has a series of sketches of that and general statement called Golme Chaver Yitzhakalamenu. A person's a greater person, he has a greater Yitzhahara. Wow. Lo daibaza. So that's number one in terms of the experience. And then, Sahib's pointed out, another way of looking at it is Char. Lo daibaza. El Sha'amu ki Schar HaMoshel ben Afsho Gadol Kefi She'ur Tza'aro B'Mashlo ben Afsho. A Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And this parak, in part, is preparing us for that Mishnah. Mishnah says, L'fum tzara agra, that the schar, as Ravam translates into Hebrew, and I think it's the second parak of Hilchos Deos, haschar l'fi hatzar. It's a direct proportion. And so Netzach would say, okay, maybe this is a question of tzar, but of how much schar you get. Maybe that's not an essential question of who's the better person. For no one, the Ravam may be assuming here that the schar is not incidental. That's not something that certainly the Amchal talks about extensively. The Rama, I believe, Ray does as well. The Om Haba is sort of a natural consequence of having done the right thing. I think we spoke about this once. Just think about a 3-year French class in high school. The last month of the last year, they go to France. And so the more you invested in learning French, you'll have the guys who really worked hard, and really, every class is going to have its, cast of characters. You have the guys who really worked hard, and you have the guys who, weren't working every day, but, before the test, they took it seriously. And you have the guys who sort of slept through and, coasted. They're going to get to France, and they're obviously going to have very different experiences. Group number one can take it all in. They can go wherever they want. They can do all sorts of things. They totally come to the language. Group number two can do lots, but there will be certain things they can't do. Group number three, real limited to where the English-speaking guides are taking them. It's not that the teacher called France and told them punish that third group. That's just natural reality. You had a chance. The more you developed your French, the more you'll be able to take in the experience of France. The schar is the schar in Olam Haba is a natural expression of how resonant I had the chance while I was in Olam Hazeh to shape myself, to so to speak, learn the language of Ruchnis, to learn the language of Kadosh Baruch Hu, to learn the language of Olam Haba. So the more I shape myself here during the period of time, during the Olam Hazeh is my opportunity to shape myself. Olam Haba, I'm locked into what I am, what I is. So the more I made myself a spiritually resonant person, a God-resonant person, so the more I'm able to, the more I'm going to appreciate and enjoy Olam Haba. So if you look at it like that Olam Haba is sort of a natural next step. So schar is an indication of essence. If there's more schar, that means I must have grown more. I must have become more Doma Tekash Baruch Hu. Then he says, but there's an even more direct comment of Chazal. It's not about schar. Yes, okay. Shehim tzivu. Chazal tell us they expect us to be that type one. Chazal expect us to fit into to adopt the profile of I'm going to overcome, as opposed to just naturally not even wanting. That we his hero milomar ani betivi eni misavel zosaver. He told us don't shoot for I naturally don't even want him. Afilo asarata Torah. Even if we've been mutter, I just don't even want it. It's not a value to not even want it. Who amaram? And that's a comment that they have in the Sifra, the Medrash Halacha and Vayikra. I think this is on a pasuk at the end of Kedoshim. Rashi quotes it al atar in the parish on Kedoshim, and the Rambam famously quotes it right here in the sixth parak of the Shemona Prakim. Remember, Shem Gamliel Omer, famous Tanner, Shem Gamliel. Lo yomar adam I efshi lachal basar b'chalav. Person shouldn't seek to adopt the attitude, hamburger and cheeseburgers are gross. Yeah, she's a little bit of shotness. I wouldn't even want to wear Woolsey Lindsay, wouldn't even want to wear shanas. Yevshi lavo ha'erva. I have no sexual drive. No, yevshi. Rather, sure, I'm sure I would enjoy it. But I'm proud to say no because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me to act otherwise. And sometimes, a lot of times, you'll have kids who have this idea like, you know, that pork is gross and lobster is gross. And you're not mechuyev to be attracted to every type of davar aser, but it's hard to imagine that they're actually objectively gross. They're multi-billion dollar industries. Clearly, lots of people find them pretty tasty. Everyone has taste, everyone has things they like and don't like. Well, okay. There you go.
I'm a master of my own domain.
But often kids think that it's frumer to say that pork doesn't taste good. And it's talking about less frum to, you're mechiv to believe that pork is gross. No, you're not. Adrava. I'm sure it's very tasty. Millions of people seem to enjoy it. I'm sure it's very tasty. And I'm glad to say, I'm proud to say, I'm sure it's tasty, and I won't eat it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me not to. And that's more important than the taste. I value Dvar Hashem more than satisfying my desires. Not that I'm going to somehow negate, erase my desire. I do want it. There are Dvar Masurim I want. No one's attracted to everything. No one wants every davar aser. No one wants every davar mutter either. People have tastes. But every person is attracted to certain davar masurim, and there's nothing embarrassing about that. Adrav, Chazal said, embrace it. Embrace the fact that you wish you could do that, and I will proudly not, because my love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more valuable to me than satisfy my own desires. Kashrut doesn't apply today means, hypothetically speaking, a Navi would come and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that until tomorrow, there's no reason not to eat lobster.
But the person who's not eating lobster versus he worked on himself so much that he didn't really want it anymore.
So again, the Rambam is presenting two different opinions. We're going to have to figure out how to reconcile. Is it a machlokas or is there some way to reconcile the two? Within the second opinion, there's no maila to not wanting lobster, not wanting the lobster, even though it's kosher, any more than, well, I don't like potatoes. Is that a madrega? I don't like potatoes? No, okay, you don't like potatoes. You're not a morally better person because you happen to not like potatoes. I do like potatoes a lot. And if they're kosher, potatoes are kosher. If you like them, eat them. If you don't want them, don't eat them. Right? Lobster is treif. So I want them, and you don't want them. Let's imagine. So we both shouldn't eat them because the Kodesh Baruch said not to. But I'm not better or worse because I do or don't like the lobster. That's very, very important. Now, I think this has profound significance for a whole host of issues, including same-sex attraction. I think that's one of the ways in which it particularly poignant. The act of mishkav zachar is a heinous crime in halacha, absolutely forbidden. If a person an individual is attracted to people of the same sex, and again, I think definitely psychologists would say that gender confusion can be caused by a whole host of different causes. And needs to be worked through. There may be also some other. There may or may not be also some other emotional complexity that has to be worked through. In a situation where that really is the case, so the attraction is not an avera. The action on the attraction is a terrible avera. If a Jew is indeed actually attracted to the same sex and is misgaber over that taifa and doesn't act on it, he's a Lefum Tzara Agra, that's an incredible madriga. To walk around trumpeting the fact, advertising the fact that I'm attracted to that Avera, doesn't bespeak Hashkafa Satora any more than I wouldn't trumpet the fact that I like lobster.
Nothing in this.
Even without the fact, inherent plus, there isn't a movement to legitimate lobster eating, right? Whereas there is obviously a movement to legitimate homosexuality. So to trumpet it plays into sort of this larger agenda. The larger agenda of legitimating homosexual activity is clearly keneged HaTorah, because homosexual activity is absolutely forbidden. That's rather clear and harsh. Just as a heterosexual person, some heterosexual people may go through a period of being attracted to someone else's spouse, and that activity is absolutely forbidden. And so a person needs to be misgaber over that taiva. The fact that he's heterosexual is not a bad thing. Heterosexually inclined is not a bad thing. But to allow it to apply that way, obviously, to act on it is forbidden. Now, with Eish HaSish, it may also be a Losachman issue. So let's put that aside. True, right. To allow oneself to indulge in erotic fantasies is itself a maisa iser. But just the fact that I wish I could fantasize, I wish I could act, right? There's a line you have to draw, whether it's heterosexual, homosexual, either way. And that actually brings us back here to also thinking about this apparent stira or machlokas. Right? Originally I presented philosophers align with what appears to be the implication of Pesukim and Mishlei, that the Ma'ula is better than the Moshe Benafsha. Right? I'm a better person for not even desiring. But he says, Chazal, I just showed you several Ma'amore Chazal, and Jake gave us another one, right? A total of four, that indicate that Adrava. We see value in the struggle. We see value in the struggle, and the fact that I desire something wrong is not in and of itself a negative. The philosophers assume it is. Pesukim and Mishlei sound like the very desire is a negative. So the Rambam writes here in the first, the second paragraph from page Reish Memhei, if you move on, mipshatei shnei advarim, b'tchilas ha-machshava, when you at first blush, when you look at these two schools of thought, or these two sets of arguments, I have a three form of Amar Chazal versus Psukim and Mishlei plus the way the philosophers look at it. Shnei Ma'amarim, Sosrim, Zezeh. Sounds like a stira or machlokas. Ein Hadavar Kein. So that's how it appears at first glance. But if you're Ma'ayin more carefully, Shnei Memes. They're both true. Ein Ma'ayin Machlokas Klal. There's no machlokas here. Why? A dialectic answer. Sometimes this applies, and sometimes that applies. V'zesha ha-ra'os, asher hein eitzel ha-filosofim ra'os, hein asher amru shemishol yisavelehen yosher tov, mishol yisavelehen v'imshol benafshol behen. What the philosopher said was accurate within the narrow category of things that the philosophers get worked up about. The sorts of things that they identify as wrong, if you desiring those sorts of things is in and of itself problematic. The things that people naturally assume to be wrong. Murder, theft, fraud, ruining someone, damaging someone inappropriately, lacking gratitude, zilzul horim, being disrespectful to parents, and how else could I characterize this class of averos other than the things that people naturally think of as being wrong? That's not merely a philosophical category. Chazal formulate this category. The sorts of things that even had they not been written in the Chumash, it ought to have been written in the Chumash. We can understand on our own that these are wrong. Kadosh Baruch Hu laid out that they're wrong. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate source of morality. We can intuit the moral problem with these things. And Yikru'un k'sas chachameinu, ha'acharinu v'sharchalu chalei medabrim, Some of the more recent Chachamim have gotten caught up in the philosophical fad, which Rama refers to as Medabrim. He was not a fan of the Medabrim, but he says the terminology they use, and ironically it's become famous in many circles because the Rambam uses it, even though he doesn't seem to be excited about the people who spearhead this terminology, mitzvos sichlios. The mitzvos that come from the seichel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said they're aser, we intuit that they're problematic. Usually often we refer to these as mishpatim. Right? The mitzvos whose rationale is obvious to us. So Einsei says, approach number one is relevant to category number one of mitzvahs, the mitzvah sechlios. Ein safik, ki nefesh tisavela dav mehem v'tzorkeke lav. He says, for sure. An individual who's yearning to violate mitzvah sechlios, he nefesh chasera. There's something morally deficient there. Nefesh ha-me'ula, o tisavela dav me'ila rozkal. I wish I could lie, cheat, and steal. I wish I could punch you in the nose and slash your tires. But Hashem said not to us, I won't. Right? That profile is not something that we're excited to hear. Not only because practically we're a little scared to be around that person, which you would be, you know, within your rights to be, but even from a, you know, at arm's length, in terms of moral assessment, there's something missing there. So Baruch Hashem, he's at least not acting on it, but the very fact that he wants it is a problem. Now, let's continue reading, then we'll try to understand why. Aval dvar mashar amru shachachamim, shamoshel bin avsho, mehem, yoser tov zchari yoser gadol, the second approach, that's that class of mamari chazal, they're referring to the other type of mitzvahs. Hina mitzvahs hashimios, the mitzvahs that we only know through hearing. I wouldn't have into the chukim. I wouldn't intuit the rationale for the mitzvah. That's the right thing to do because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said so. But that's the only way I know that it's the right thing to do. Zeh nachon. That's certainly the case. Imalei haTorah lo hayu ro'os klal. Had the Kadosh Baruch Hu not told me it's wrong, do we know? There's nothing natural about their moral value. I'm going to walk away only because that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu expressly told me. He goes on to say that if you think about, he says, I'll demonstrate that. Think about that last Mamar Chazal, that Sifra, Rabbi Shimon Leo. He says, a person shouldn't feel the need to say, you know, lobster is disgusting, this is gross, that's gross. With the examples were kashrus, shatnez, and gila arayos. Those are all chukim. His bodein b'chach masam aleim hashalom lem shilu. Read the Mamar Chazal carefully. As Rama reminds us time and again, Chazal were sophisticated, incredibly sophisticated people with incredibly sophisticated things to say, and who wrote with extraordinary nuance. So you're not going to just going to sort of skim Chazal. Of course you're going to miss. He says, read carefully. Look at the examples. Those examples were chosen with care. They didn't say, la yomar adam yevshi laragas hanefesh, yevshi lignov l'chazev. The Chazal didn't say, oh, you know, I'd love to murder, cheat, steal, lie. No, they didn't say that. They said, dvarim shimiyim. Or the machukim, bas v'chalov, shatnez, arayos, eila mitzvahs. Those are the ones that are called chukosai. Those are chukim. It's the same thing. As opposed to sichlios, he calls them, we often refer to them as mishpatim, he refers to them as mitzvos. He closes by saying, this is incredible chiddush. And the truth is, I think if you think about it, what he left sort of open is, well, why? In other words, if Chazal tell us in the second paragraph, a series of raftim amar Chazal, that I it's wrong to do the wrong thing, but the fact that I want it, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me nisyonos. Okay, everyone has nisyonos. Nothing wrong with having nisyon. The question is, do you overcome or do you give in? So why not say that by the? It's sort of we say, yeah, we get a little, you know, we're feeling leery about the fellow who says I would love to lie, cheat, and steal, but I won't because Hashem said not. But logically, why is it any different? Kadosh Baruch Hu said not to, so I won't. But why am I a more refined person? It certainly takes a lot of self-control. The guy, Taka, here's a fellow who really would like to cheat. But he says, no, but it's the wrong thing to do. He would love to get those ill-gotten gains. But he knows it's wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said not to. Right? He went to the shir, he opened the chumash, and said, Gevalt, I really would love to defraud people. I can make millions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said not to, so I'm not going to. That's a lot of self-control. The guy's looking at all that cash, and he doesn't embezzle only because shteitn pasek not to? Right? So why is that taka less of a baal madrega? Yeah, but let's clarify. Let's clarify. The guy who actually does lie, cheat, and steal is doing heinous averes, and the guy who actually does eat bas b'chal, wear shatnez, and violate geiros is also doing major averes. So we're talking about acting on your typhus in either direction, whether it's sichias or shumias. The fellow acts on his typhus, he's a baal avera. But we're talking about sort of a more subtle thing. I'm not acting on my typhus. But I'm controlling active desire. I really have a desire to do this, but I'm practicing self-control. It's the fact that I practice self-control as opposed to naturally not even wanting to do the wrong thing. Right? That opening question, right? Which is better? I don't even want to do the wrong thing, or I do, and I'm a misgaber. So the Rambam is saying, well, depends. Depends which. If it's chukim, if it's mitzvah shimios, so then there's no maila in not even whine it. But if it's a mitzvah sichlis, if it's a mishpat, Ben Mechaveros, more or less, not exactly, but there's a high correspondence. Ben Mechaveros, so then not only is obviously there's value to behaving properly, additionally there's value to wanting to behave properly. So how come? I think the simplest answer, there may be different ways to express it, maybe different flavors. I think the simplest answer is, and this brings us back to what you were saying before about Hirhuri Aveira in the world of Gilras. Also, there's nothing wrong. There's no Aveira to want Shatnas. There's no Aveira to want Pasuk Chalv. There is an Aveira to wear Shatnas. Pasuk saying, I'll wear Shatnas. I'll wear Shatnas. That's a Maisa Aveira. If I eat Pasuk, if I chew on Pasuk Chalv, swallow Pasuk Chalv, I did an Aveira. It doesn't say in the Chumash anywhere that I'm not allowed to, want, desire to eat basbuk halav. So I've done nothing wrong when I've wanted the basbuk halav. If it comes to eating the basbuk halav, then I've done something wrong. But wanting to lie, cheat, and steal is already a violation of Ratzon Hashem. What? It's not geneva. If I actually stole, that's geneva. If I wanted to steal, that's not geneva, but that's a violation of a different mitzvah. Violation of the mitzvah of achta b'drachav. Kadosh Baruch Hu expects us to develop refined midos. To want shatnez is not a bad midah, but to want to lie, cheat, and steal is. In other words, and that sort of goes to the heart of the fact that these are the sorts of things whose rationale we intuit. So if I want those things, so there's something wrong with my moral intuition. There's a lack, in other words, there's a chisar in my midos. So Baruch Hashem, despite that chisar in my midos, I'm at least not following Geneva. I really want to steal, but I don't. That's very impressive. That Baruch Hashem, this Jew, is not violating the Isra of Geneva, but he is violating Falach Tabadrachah. Because in the Mishpatim, in the Benam Lachaveros, the desire to do the wrong thing is already running a foul of Valach Tzvachav, which is not generally going to be the case by the Chukim. So Gilui Arayos is sort of on the edge, because there is a separate Avera of letting my fantasies run wild. Of hirurums. I need to figure out, which is sometimes a complicated thing, to figure out how over time, in a calm way, I can practice good management and get control and tamp down, reduce and manage hirur aveiro. But that's sort of letting the indulging in fantasy. The fact that I want, a person wants to do X, but holds back, wants to fantasize about X, holds back, that's not here or there. He sort of lets, runs with it, and lets his thoughts flow in that direction, allows his thoughts to continue in that direction, that's where he's running afoul. That's sort of, so to speak, the, I can't call it my savira, the pula savira of here or there. But the fact that it is tempting is not in and of itself a chet. The fact that geneva is tempting is already not a violation of geneva, but a violation of lacht b'drachim. So I think that's what the Rambam is saying. These ideas are incredibly powerful. This sifra is very, very powerful. So I think people often make the mistake of writing themselves off. A person is struggling with a nisayon, struggling with the Yetzirah, and so writes himself off, like, what kind of person might I even want to do this? And he sort of begins to devalue his successes, when in fact, just the opposite is the case. L'fum tzara agra. The fact that I'm pushing forward despite that I'm fighting Yetzirah, that's exactly what we're here for. And that's what the Ramchal talks about very poetically in the first paragraph of Mesillas Yesharim. Talks about, he uses a couple of martial metaphors in describing Olam Hazeh. So fighting the good fight, being surrounded from different sides. Like you mentioned, he doesn't put it this way exactly, but a soldier who parachutes behind enemy lines. So now it's not just a one way, it's not just one line of scrimmage, so to speak. He's surrounded by the enemy on all sides. The Rabbi Ramchal talks about that. Human being, Olam Hazeh, all sorts of different, sometimes even opposite situations, each bring with them, each one its own unique nisayon. And that's part of the nature of Olam Hazeh. To have nisyonos is nothing to be embarrassed of. To have nisyonos means you're alive, Baruch Hashem. And you have the opportunity to meet challenges and to seek to be as successful with as many of them as one could be, and to, over time, succeed more and pick oneself up and try again and succeed more. But that's the fact that every person, every community, every person has his own profile of nisayon, of which things, every person has particular things that are easier and other things are more difficult. But that's the nature of Olam Hazeh. That goes to the purpose of Olam Hazeh, as Ramchal quotes from Rav Sadiga. This is, I think, very, as I was saying before, a very much practical philosophy. In many ways, this is one of the most practical aspects of Hashkafa, is Hashkafa on Yisrael. Any closing questions? Yeah.
Is it, thinking back to what we're learning before the summer, and the idea that the Rambam says many mitzvot that you didn't realize are there to teach you a lesson? Is it the difference between if a person never has any desire for a cheeseburger, and another person does, this person is engaging with God's mitzvah. If one person is not engaging with it at all, he misses out on a lesson.
Yeah.
He misses out on a lesson as an experience. Maybe.
So this is a great segue to 2 weeks from now. So we'll close where we started, and we're going to, I think, have to dig in more. Next week, Mitzvah Shavuot, we'll give you a women's shiur Wednesday night, but we'll reconvene in 2 weeks. We left off before the summer, in the middle of the fourth parak, I think. And that was sort of a part of a larger maracha, so hopefully tonight was a standalone shiur, but not fully a standalone shiur, as Seth points out. Because in the end of the fourth paragraph, what we're up to is sort of finding the values within different mitzvahs and how different mitzvahs are. Every mitzvah is an exercise in building some midah or another, and the sort of the building the balance of different midahs using different mitzvahs. So it is true that overall, in other words, maintaining the discipline of kashrus will allow me to rebalance in terms of not being gluttonous and sort of having a healthy, balanced approach to eating. But anyone wanting any one food in particular isn't a violation of Amidah in a way that wanting to steal one time already is. But maybe we'll We're going to pick up with that more in 2 weeks.